Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
There are first-hand accounts. They're not all in books. There are people you know that may or may not feel comfortable talking about this in your presence. You may have known someone who was extremely close to you and never revealed the extent of their own paranormal, unusual, UFO, ET, fairy, all that stuff encounters because you didn't believe it. The deal is, it doesn't matter when someone believes it or not. If the experience happens, beliefs change. I'm Wendy, and this is Wendy's Coffee House. This is October. Finally, it's been okay to talk about UFOs because once the military kind of signed off on it, all of a sudden people started sharing stories and admitting that, yes, they too had had a sighting or an encounter. And Chris Bledsoe is on Facebook. He's also elsewhere, but he's one of the people I follow who posts occasional videos of his contact, and it's accessible to anyone who would like to follow the page. But I think it is a good example of what this stuff looks like, and he'll ask a question. There will be a light in the sky, and that light, that pinpoint of light, will blink back in response to his questions. So it's really simple. It isn't anything difficult or in any way, shape, or form extreme or complicated. It's unique to the individual, and he has developed this contact, this communication, all by himself without anybody saying, hey, that's weird, that's kooky, deterring him, okay? So that's basically what this is when it comes to paranormal and unusual experiences, anomalous, supernatural, all the names we have for these kinds of experiences. They are unique to the experiencer. And so a lot of this is meant to assure you or inform you that what you experience is also important. And my experiences of the paranormal have happened throughout my life. I didn't always pay close attention because in some way it was not okay. So I didn't talk about it. But the experiences didn't go away. And then in 1997, everything changed and I became more attuned to what was happening around me. And that nightlight interacting 24/7 in my day really changed everything. So I started learning more about my own intuitive abilities. And some of that includes just being aware that when it happens, you aren't always going to get a second chance. If it flashes, it's there. There was a video I saw this morning, just this morning, where a guy is being pulled on a sled behind his sister who's on a four-wheeler, and they're going through the snow, and he, in his camera, as he's videotaping this, sees off to the left above a tree line a UFO. And he tries to yell to his sister to stop because he wants to get a better look. But it's gone from then on. And he thinks that the fact that he was yelling, screaming at the top of his lungs, trying to get his sister to stop so he could take a better picture, it was gone. And that's what it is. Sometimes these are fleeting. A friend of mine keeps sending me these pictures. And that of his own experiences, and it's a telepathic thing. It's that sense of, I need to step outside, and you get a prompt that look out the window or look to your left. It's there. It's that subtle and that simple. And so he has sent me his pictures, and I run them by John Foster. I interviewed John about his own UFO experiences, like over 4 decades of experiences. And then when he had those memories, he had 3 heart attacks. His heart now is about a third the size of a heart, and yet he's in his 80s and still functioning. So the prognosis from the ETs who told him when he addressed this, and he asked, I want to stop this because I don't know what's going on, and until you tell me what your purpose is, I don't want to participate. And they said, well, we can't tell you the purpose, otherwise it wouldn't work. And then to sum it up. And so you can listen to those interviews with him, also his daughter, Kendra, to find out more about that. But when that happened, then they also said that you will have some limited mobility or limited ability, limited functioning, but you'll be okay. And it was the stress and the trauma of realizing that he had had these experiences his entire life, and they were so off the charts of what he believed in his daytime linear mode, conventional stuff, that it caused him to have the heart attacks. That break from reality was much larger and much more intense than he could handle. And that happens to some people. But as he continued to work through that and meet other people who also had similar experiences and memories, then he could come to terms with his own reality. And now that the UFO topic is more accessible and the military is signing off on it all over the world, there are reports now being disclosed because it's okay to talk about it. That's where we are. So with that, there's also, this is October, an interest in paranormal, because anyone who's had an experience with a UFO may also have encountered paranormal experiences, activities around that encounter. I have, and it messes with your electronics. It you have these telepathic prompts, you know, a sentence or a word or an instruction. And for me, I think those instructions are testing us to see how responsive we are. Are we listening, for one thing? Do we follow instructions? The first thing I'll say about that is do no harm. From working as a medium in some instances to an intuitive to listening to this other conversation, it can be intimidating because you wonder, how much do they know? Oh, pretty much everything. it's we can't see them, they see us. And it's like the story Ghost Rider that has just come out, or actually been released. It's been out for quite some time. But the interview with John Huckert, and the presence is there. It's just a matter of whether it wants to come out and expose itself and interact and engage. And some people are more receptive, and I think that has a lot to do with it. If you are hardcore, conventional, black and white, nothing else exists, then you may not get that kind of engagement, or even, you know, a hint, because you can't see it. It doesn't exist. And yet somebody who is more curious and exploring and interested and receptive can get some kind of indication that there's more here than what we see. And your animals, pets, can also give you an indication that there's more going on here than what we see. And that is, for me, very helpful, because sometimes when I'm all alone, the only thing I have in my environment is a pet, cat, dog, horse, whatever, they will give me a clue that what I'm seeing is also being experienced by somebody else, something else, someone else. And that's helpful, because you can doubt that this is out loud or, you know, happening. And one morning, this is when this whole coronavirus thing started, the day I remember happened to be my birthday. And I'm waking up to something that felt like if you were sitting under a tree, an acorn falling on your head. The interesting thing is the concept there, the analogy is also perfect. But that was what, at the time, it was like an acorn fell on my head. I'm laying in bed. I get hit by something on the top of my head. At the same time, I hear a word, gotcha, and I see this flash. You know, the Batman cartoons where they have that little splash in the background with the word pow or something. Well, this one was a splash of yellow, and that was the background for the black lettering of gotcha. And I put this on my blog. So when I am doing most of my other paranormal experiences on is talking to nightlights.com. That's a WordPress blog. So I've tried to include some of these experiences, and we're going to be talking about this hour, because it is helpful to know that there are firsthand accounts. They're not all in books. There are people you know that may or may not feel comfortable talking about this in your presence. So throughout your entire life, you may have known someone who was extremely close to you and never revealed the extent of their own paranormal, unusual, UFO, ET, fairy, all that stuff encounters, because you didn't believe it. The deal is, it doesn't matter when someone believes it or not. If the experience happens, then their beliefs change. And that's what happened with John Foster. When the experience happened, well, he had a few heart attacks to get him over the bridge, but he began to believe things differently and absolutely pursue obsessively. We'll talk about that obsession with knowing and learning and discovering what else is going on here that we might be missing or overlooking because we're afraid to ask questions when something odd, unusual, weird happens and we just say, no, gone. Maybe there's more to it, and it is up to us to learn to ask better questions to find out what else is going on. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. I've done a lot of interviews and in the past 10, 20 some years and tried to focus on things that were relatable, that maybe if you heard about it, it might be familiar, or even if it was unfamiliar, you might have had an experience or heard about it in some way that made it interesting and you could be curious without ever really having to fall into the category of an experiencer. And now it's, I think, important to include those experiencers, because when we experience something, it changes us. Our beliefs, our ideas, our values, our awareness, everything shifts. And sometimes that change is absolutely, you know, night and day. Immediately, you are completely, totally different in your beliefs and your actions. Other times, it's a progression, an evolution of change. So right now, I'm going to tell you a few of the things that helped me change my beliefs. And they have to do with contact with things that in our society, Western culture society, are often downplayed or discouraged or made fun of, ostracized, shamed, if you say that you have had this kind of encounter. Ghosts, an easy one. So if you see a ghost, or you sense a ghost, or you've been touched by a ghost, it didn't happen. It's your imagination. It's fiction. Okay, maybe. No, when you experience it, and it doesn't take somebody else to say that you have been touched. It's up to you to understand something happened. Something walked by me. I saw a shadow that was in the shape of a person, and this shadow walked by. I've seen it in retail spaces. When I worked in retail, and this is in Kansas City on the plaza, there were two locations for the Eddie Bauer store. The big location used to be a whole block. That location was known for having activity in the back room. I had no idea about the background, but when I got to the store and was working in one of the front areas for the women's department, I heard a noise. I had just been in this area, and this is where a bunch of bags and purses and things were shelved. It was close to the floor and kind of a boxy area. And I heard a noise, turned around. I had just walked by this area 3 feet out on the plain floor tile. It was a purse, a bag that had been there. There's no way it could have dropped. It had to have been tossed, kicked, pushed, shoved, somehow moved about 3 feet away from where everything was stored. And I knew at that point that was a ghost saying hi to see what my response would be. And I'm like, well, good to know you're here. But when I shared that, then I heard the other stories of what the ghosts were doing. And it could be a little bit, if you were alone in the giant back room, unnerving. Okay, well, the next location, I also experienced the same thing. And this is where the old Saks store was. It then became, they've done all sorts of renovations down there. So anyway, it became a smaller store, smaller location for Eddie Bauer, no longer there on the plaza. And at one point, I turned around and I watched this shadow person walk through the store. I called him a fast runner. Okay, well, that's a UFO thing. So now I've learned, no, you can't call them that. But it was a fast walker, I think I called fast walker. And because that's what it was doing. It was in the shape. It looked like a male shape outline. And I'm looking at one of the cutouts on my wall that that has that. It's absolutely perfect for that. And a male shape walking in the center of the store from west to east through the store like the walls didn't exist. And that was it. That was all there was to it. There were some times when people would come into the store, and this was the odd thing, that we, and there were two or three of us, who would notice they would come into the store, and you would never see them leave. And it was so subtle because you couldn't always pay full attention to everyone who walked in the store. But you would see them enter, and then they would be gone. And that was an odd thing. And I couldn't ever get my head wrapped around that. And so that one was, I was just thinking, okay, I'm just not paying close enough attention. But then to have other people have that same feeling and that same sense that there's something going on there, we didn't get to the bottom of that. The other thing was, as we were leaving and packing up to leave, my husband was standing there and we were at the checkout counter talking with a couple of the other employees who were standing behind the counter. And we feel this person, a sense of a person, walk by us, and not the wind, you know, there's a rush of air as this person walks by very fast, and we didn't see anything, but standing right there, felt that someone walked by us, and we're looking at each other, okay, did you sense that? And at that point, there was nothing to see. It was just a very clear presence, and knowing that, okay, you know, we're not going to get any answer there, but there was a sensation and a feeling. The other thing is when I experienced being in bed at night and knowing there was someone standing beside me, I felt the presence of two individuals standing beside the bed. I could not see them. Now, this is a telepathic connection because at that point I start praying and doing an exercise just to kind of increase my vibration. I'll use the language and you can get up to speed if it doesn't make sense or you haven't heard it before. But what I tried to do was clear my thoughts and raise my energy, thinking positive thoughts, praying, and that would be if you expand your light, boost your energy. So as I'm doing that, I hear in words, language, you can't stop this. And that's like, okay, that's an aggressive comment. And there was also in a sense, there was a smile, you know, that sense of, ha ha, you can't stop this. And so my response was, and you can't stop me praying. So I continued to pray. In the morning, I woke up and my earrings had been undone. I have off and on wear a pair of earrings that has a very difficult for me, difficult screw-in attachment on the back. So it takes me forever to dart. I don't wear them very often because of that. It's annoying. So the thing is, it's difficult for me to undo those earrings. They don't come off when I'm asleep. I usually remove them if they're uncomfortable that day. And this time, both of those earrings had been completely, they were just dangling on my ear. They had been undone by the little tricksters who said, you can't stop this. So I didn't know what they were talking about in the first place. So I, you know, all I could do was just understand that, all right, whatever's going to happen isn't something I'm going to buy into. And that's how I chose to deal with it. These things for us are a challenge to understand what is connecting with us. I haven't had anything like that happen again. It was just a challenge, I believe, to see what my response would be. Would I be belligerent? Would I be angry? Would I attack? And that kind of energy brings more antagonism and changes your own interaction, in my experience. So with that, when I go into places that are haunted and known to be haunted and known to have either aggressive or negative or challenging energy, I don't put that energy out that I'm there to fight with it. I just am curious what's going on, what's happening. So when we went to the Sigma Nu house at KU as part of a paranormal investigation, my energy was curious. And as a part of the presentation, we all appeared one evening in a lower level space. And during that time, that entities that were there, something undid my necklace as I felt it fall down my shirt. Just to say, ha ha, we're here. So things like that will happen. Do you feel like you're touched by an entity? It isn't like a finger or, you know, a hand, or it might be pressure, and it might be something that just kind of feels like a touch of a feather. All right. There's another time when I did get a touch that I thought was a feather on my arm as I was asleep. I have to take a break. This is another story that has more to it than just an encounter. And that's what's so fascinating. Once you start opening up to the possibilities and the connections and how these things might be interrelated to something else, to me, it becomes fascinating. Again, talking ghosts, anomalies, extraordinary and unconventional experiences. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House. Usually I interview a guest, but when I do that, I often am editing a lot of my own content because I wanted to focus on the guests. So this is a catch-up, going back into some of the things that I've experienced and some of the things that you might be familiar with if you have had your own paranormal, unexplained, anomalous encounters. That's finally okay for people to talk more about this. And that doesn't mean, you know, wide open, but it means you may, in passing, be able to say, well, yeah, I had this happen, and not feel like you're being shamed or being told to shut up because you're weird. All right. Doesn't mean you aren't, but you might get more receptivity to your stuff. All right. I've had several interviews in the archives. The shows include people who've had their own shift, break, evolution from becoming not just skeptical, but completely oblivious. And that all of a sudden changed when they had an experience and then started learning more about their own abilities. So that's a lot of what this is about. As I experienced at a cabin, I'm in the middle of the living room because that's where I fell asleep. I feel this sensation of a feather on my arm. I have my arm up over my face. And I'm upset because at that point I feel there's a light shining in my eyes. It's blinding me. I'm thinking, what the heck? My husband, why is he doing this to me? I'm sound asleep. I'm waking up. There's this bright light shining in my face. And I say to him, why are you shining that light in my face? The room's empty. He's asleep in the other room with the dog. He made it to the bed. Okay, here I am. The skylight is directly above me, and the moon is shining in my eyes. And I said, what? Because I'm figuring out now, something had touched me, and it felt, you know, all I could say was like a feather on my arm. And then the conversation starter, whatever conversation was, there's magic in the moonlight. Sleep through it, and you'll miss it. Okay, well, that's a wake-up call. The other thing is, this is an area that I have since discovered has Sasquatch activity. It's in the Ozarks. I never connected those dots until later on I got a similar message that had to do with magic in the moonlight. And it was a whole message saying that that is part of this space, and it was a telepathic connection. I'm not going to go into that because I'm still stuck on ghosts at the moment. And again, going back to, you may know somebody extremely well, and yet that somebody has not felt comfortable telling you some of these personal experiences with extraordinary encounters, unusual encounters, things that cause us to rethink what we think is normal and what we think is okay. Not only that, but possible. Telly Savalas played Kojak. And one of the things I found recently, I hadn't heard this story, but he shared the story shortly before he died. And it happened to him when he was younger. And at some point, he had run out of gas. And so he asked where the nearest gas station was. He's carrying the gas can, and the guy says, well, it's over there through the woods. So he it gives him the directions to it. And so he goes down through the woods. And at that point, he's still far away, a ways away from the gas station. A car stops, and the guy says, would you like a ride? I can give you a ride. And he accepts the ride. This story, I put it on the blog so you could see what I'm talking about. talking to Nightlight's blog. And it's The Ghost Files, an Australian documentary. Telly Savalas is the first one, so it's easy to find. And he gets in the car, and then the guy takes him to the gas station, and he says, "I'll give you a dollar for the gas." The driver says this, and he's like, he's really embarrassed because, as a matter of fact, he doesn't have money for the gas. He says, "Okay, yeah, that would be great, but let me at least, you know, repay you if you would write down your name and address so I can get the money to you, because right now I don't have any, and I really don't want to take advantage." So he goes and he takes the money and gets the gas, and they take that back to his car. He's all good to go. And so when he gets home, he's got the phone number and information for this person. And he calls, and the answer, when he called this phone number, threw him completely for a loop. Because for one thing, the person who came to the phone was really angry that he asked for the man and accused him of being a jerk for doing this, because the man was deceased. I believe at that point she hung up, at least the story goes. But there were a few things that were little indicators, little taglines that he could connect the dots. He finally connects with the wife of the deceased person, has a conversation with her about her husband. And so this story is absolutely fascinating. It would not happen if we buy reality as we normally consider it. Everything is black and white, and we only talk to people who have physical bodies, and people who have physical bodies that look like physical bodies can't be ghosts. Okay, well, that blows that one out of the water. So these kinds of experiences do happen. Now, there's another experience beyond that. Sometimes we are connecting with another type of entity that isn't what we consider human. And this is experience I had in my own backyard as I was pulling weeds, and I heard voices. Now, the voices sound like a helium, like, you know, when you're talking on helium, and these little voices, but they're singing. It's kind of a sing-song chant. And as I am pulling weeds, I hear this sing-song chant, "Mother, bring the rain that we might drink. Mother, bring the rain that we might drink." And I'm thinking, and above are clouds, and we're on the line where just to the north, it looks like there's rain, and to the south, it's not still nice and clear. And this line, as these little voices are singing, drifts over to the south, just a little bit above my yard. And there are sprinkles. And just a few moments, those sprinkles are there. And then it stops. It was just extraordinary because I realized these are the fairies in the yard. And they're present in other spaces that we usually don't see. But for some reason, in that moment, I was connected and able to be open to that experience. And it was mind-blowing because I didn't have any idea that that was possible. Not only that, it was just a fleeting moment of awareness, and the sprinkles, when they stopped, I didn't hear the voices. I didn't see anything. I just knew that this was something, again, that would be discounted, and most people would have a hard time believing that it happened. Fortunately, I read enough of other accounts of people having these experiences and talked to people who have also had that kind of engagement to know that it's not something that I needed to worry about, in terms of I didn't make it up. It wasn't a negative experience. It was just an awareness that there's more going on here than meets the eye. And maybe we should question more and not assume we have all the answers. If you want to find out more about the Telly Savalas story and get the actual details on that, it is absolutely riveting, fascinating. He never got the answer to that story. Telly Savalas, who played Kojak, and that's The Ghost Files, Australian documentary on YouTube or on my blog at Talking to Nightlights. Back in a few with more of the paranormal. Can you be, this is one I didn't buy into either until it happened to me, can you be possessed by a ghost? Well, it turns out I've experienced that you can. Wendy's Coffee House. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Yeah, it's that month where it's okay to talk about ghosts. Not that ghosts only occur during October haunting season, but people don't give you weird looks because you're interested. I will say that there are some things in terms of ghosts that are intimidating when you go into a haunted house and it starts picking on you, pulling your hair, knocking things over, making noises, sounds that you can't explain, footsteps, doors opening and shutting, and electronics, things, lights burning out and blinking and all that. It can be really disconcerting. And those things happen. I have not lived in a straight out haunted house, but I have had those kinds of experiences going through houses that are haunted. In my own home, at one point, I had this sense that there were bones, there was bodies buried. And I'm thinking, this is really a creepy thought. this is weird. But I couldn't make it go away. And the clues were that the floor needed to be redone because prior to us getting the house, the cats had pretty much messed up the room. Okay. It needed to be taken care of. So as we are going through this room and my husband is redoing the floors and pulling it out, because at one point when the carpet was pulled off, there was so much padding that obviously the floor had a volcano in the center. Not quite, but it was pretty dramatic that the floor had in the center, it rose up into a peak. And there had been some termite damage at some point. Anyway, they did a cut and cover. And okay, the other thing too, at some point in this house's existence, they had probably tented it to do some kind of getting rid of varmints, getting rid of pests, whatever. And when they did that, trapped in that were two possums, because those were the bones, adult size possums, that my husband found when he tore out the floor. That was like, wow, okay, it made sense. So when John Huckert is talking in this last interview on The Ghost Rider, the Polaroid ghost, about the psychic saying, there's a body buried here, it doesn't have to be human. It could actually be a horse, a cow. It could be something else. But they're inferring that there is, and they haven't done any digging to find out what's there. But my own sense with this experience was that it was just an odd feeling. And it was like, there's something there. And I just kept like, yeah, their body's buried there. You know, as uncomfortable as it was to say that, then to find that there were skeletons and actual bodies of animals who had been trapped when they tented the house to do an extermination. So anyway, those kinds of things, if you trust your instincts, you trust your sense, trust your gut, you are really more aware and in tune with your environment than you might believe. So here we go back to experiences. Buying a property with my ex-husband, we got a wonderful deal on a duplex. And we were going to fix it up. And the people told us that it was just too inconvenient for them to take care of it. And they wanted to get rid of it and needed to move. And we're like, wow, this is great. So we fell into a good deal. After living there for a short time, maybe 2 or 3 months, the experiences that I've described before about having lights turn on and off, I had a shelf collapse on me and it didn't break anything important, but it did hit me on the head. And I'm like, okay. Now, I'd have this kind of experience in a different way before, but this one was more intense. And when we went on vacation and left my cat there, the cat stayed in one spot so much that he lost all of his fur. It was a pile. He was a long hair, beautiful long hair, white and black cat. But his pile of fur in one spot let me know that he wasn't comfortable in the rest of the house. And I was mortified because I wouldn't have done that if I had known. My husband, I accused him of coming home one time and opening up the doors on the TV stand, two glass doors. They were attached magnets. You know, you open them and shut them. Anyway, they were open, equidistance apart. And I'm like, I called him, did you come home and do that? It made no sense, but it just didn't make sense to me that that could have happened. So there was things like that happening. And the other thing was happening. I was waking up in the middle of the night, choking. I couldn't breathe. And so I'm like, okay, I've forgotten how to breathe when I'm asleep. Now, this makes sense? No, it doesn't make sense. But this is trying to make whatever it is make sense. So I put a pillow under my head and tried to sleep up so that I wouldn't be laying flat and my throat wouldn't get full of whatever. And, you know, when I tell this story, I know this is totally, completely unbelievable. But so that was what I was trying to do to figure out why my body wasn't acting the way it should. And at one point, my toes were, I didn't have the sheet over my feet and had my toes were out. And I felt like a thumb take my big toe and press it down. Okay, that's a clue. That's a clue. All right, so I did that. So I just kept my toes covered. And then I would hear occasionally a chime, like one chime. And I would hear that. And then I realized, finally, with the experience that kind of brought everything to a head, I woke up, I'm awake, and I'm having that difficulty breathing, but I'm feeling my voice. I'm saying, oh, oh. And I thought, this is what a ghost sounds like. So all of a sudden, everything is coming to me. I'm finally figuring it out, putting all the dots together. This is a ghost. Something is here. It's a ghost. And so then we asked the neighbors about what happened with the previous tenants. In the apartment the side of the duplex that we lived in, the previous tenant had committed suicide. He was obsessive compulsive. And so everything, like in the closet, the hangers were equidistant, you know, one inch between everything. He was also, as I began to become more aware of what the message was, that he was also frustrated with me because I was so dense that I wasn't picking up on the fact that he needed help, that he was stuck. He was not happy to be there. And that this was his way of getting me to wake up and smell the coffee. And so that it took me a while to figure out all of these things were happening. This is at the very beginning. I wasn't in tune with all of this at that point. And it was a learning curve, a definite learning curve. He wasn't trying to hurt me. He was trying to get me to pay attention and help him. And so what happened as a result eventually was that I was able to give him an energetic boost and just, you know, put long story short, send him to the light. And it's just, he was stuck in this plane and in that space trying to find a way out because he didn't believe. And what I asked was for those that he loved, his companions, his guides that he had been shutting out, to come and get him. And when it finally happened, he wasn't happy with me. He didn't say thank you. They did. No, he was like, yeah, he was ready to give me the old heave-ho. But the thing was, as I figured that out, I understood that some of these experiences that people have with attachments and possessions isn't about them having some kind of a personal defect or an imaginary friend. It's about a real circumstance where another entity is asking for help. Now, it could be something else. For me, that was a wake-up call saying that it isn't always about being attacked. Sometimes it's the only way to get from point A to point B. And we are the bridge with our energy. With that, I need to wrap the show. There are more stories like this. I've had a lot of education, coming to terms with dealing with medium type situations where, yes, dead people do talk to us if we pay attention. And part of it is becoming more clear on your own abilities, your projections, and being able to set that aside and be receptive to what's happening in your environment. But that's it for now. I can continue this, just not today. This was a way of giving you more information that I'm not able to give when I do the interviews. So you can check out the interviews in the archives, Wendy's Coffee House. The podcasts are on Audio Boom. Thank you for listening. And if you're curious, check out the blog, Talking to Nightlights. It's on WordPress. And that interview with Telly Savalas is absolutely amazing. Thanks for listening.